would like to introduce our second speaker, who will be sharing on the second edition, Mind Beat.
I'm recovering act, name is Myron. A few things. One is I don't sing, so unless I'm by myself in my car or some shit, you know, then I'll sing really good because it sounds good then, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, other than that, I can't do that. But I want to thank everybody for coming. I really appreciate that. They asked me to speak probably about an hour before this happened, and it was big old to-do about it, and, you know, and the guy didn't show up, so, and actually she was supposed to do tradition too, and I was supposed to sit and watch, and so they asked me to do tradition too, which is cool. My clean day is 8/23/92, and I say that just to let you know that if I can stay clean, you can too. I'm not saying that as an authority on nothing I'm going to say. I'm going to share my experience, my strength, and my hope, and that's all I have to give you. And I hope that helps somebody find their way through something. Because at one time, I sat in a room just like this with 30 Days Clean and never thought that I would be here almost 25 years later, still recovering and doing what we do. So I said, that's what that's about. She was talking about some of our experience here. You know, those who've been in relationships in recovery with another recovering addict probably kind of understand a lot of stuff that goes on, you know. Some people say they date outside the program and they think that makes it better, you know. Well, we just don't get a chance to see all the shit that go on, but, you know, whether they in recovery, not in recovery, there's always an experience that happens with that, you know what I'm saying? And, I never thought that we would be dating together. I mean, after married almost 10 years, 9 years, divorced 9, and what went on through all those 9 years, I never thought my life would be what it is today. But also understand this, that if you have surrendered to this program, if you have a relationship with the steps, then you know God is in charge of the whole process. And at the end of the day, you will do what God has designed for you to do. If you refuse to do that, your life tends to have a lot of struggle going on in it. You tend to have a lot of problems happening, not wondering why you're not happy. Why is this going on? Because somewhere I'm not able to surrender, and I haven't made a complete process in my third step. Haven't turned my will and my life over to the care of God, because if that's the case, I have to believe that what he has for me is best. Whether we make it or don't make it, it's not my job. My job is to make sure I do what I'm supposed to do and to leave the rest in his hands. And if you don't believe in God, I can't even apologize for that. I'm sharing my experience, strength, and hope. That's what I believe in. I also believe in this, that it's hard to have effective service if my relationship with the steps is weak. Because what I'm bringing to the group conscious is really not principles. So my service is defective, if you want to say. And the worst thing in the world to do is have somebody read a book, read the traditions, but never been involved with nothing.
I know, right?
They're dangerous.
Yeah, they are.
It's almost like you can read a book on how to fix an engine, but you never turned a wrench. But you read the book. And you know what a piston is. You know what a crank is. You know what the cam is. You know what timing is. But you never had the ear to listen to the engine run. That's the experience that comes along with the process. Yeah, we work steps in the beginning, but eventually we have to take steps. There's a difference between working steps and taking steps. They're not the same thing. Somewhere the steps become who we are, not what we do. It's who I am. It's who I am all the time, even in bad situations. It's who I am. This is who I am. Not something I just do on a Tuesday night from 8 to 9:30. It's who I am. This is who I've become. I'm a recovering addict. That's who I am. And when I go to group conscious, that's who I am. That means in the group conscious, I've learned how to have some principles. Do I get upset sometimes? Sure I do, because I'm still breathing. Which means I'm alive. I have those emotions that happen. But when I walk out, I learn not to hold on to them. That's the difference, I think. In the beginning of the basic text, it says, it talks about the symbol. God, self, society, and service. That's what the steps do. If you pay attention to the steps, that's what they do. It talks about freedom. The steps address self, God, society, and service. That's what it addresses. It talks about all points rise to freedom. That means I'm free with self. I can tell you about me. I can tell you the things about me that I don't want nobody to know. But I'm all right with me. I'm freedom with society. Do all my bills paid? Do I answer every bill collector? No, I don't. Do I plan on paying them? No, I'm not. They can keep calling me. And I'll keep talking to them. And sometimes I tell the chick on the phone, you know, look, I know you just got a job to do, but I'm about to hang up on you. I'm not trying to go out. I'm going to die with owing some of these motherfuckers. Excuse my language. You talking about? And that's the way it go. But I pay my bills. You see what I'm talking about? So I'm telling you, I'm not perfect. I pray on a regular basis. We pray together now. That's something we didn't do before. We didn't invite God in our relationship before. But every night we pray before we go to bed. Even if one of us in the bed, the other one kneels down beside the bed and we touch each other. We never did that before. We never invited a loving God into our relationship. It was on us. I never did nothing for somebody else. Service is doing something for somebody else. I never did nothing for nobody else. See, God didn't clean me up for me. He didn't clean me up for me. He cleaned me up for other people. So that we can be a vessel of hope for somebody else. See, your clean time, ain't, it's not that kind of selfish program. People say sometimes, I think they got it mixed up, but it's not a selfish program, it's a selfless program. See, you, if you ask yourself, why did God get you clean and not the people that you know? Why didn't you die? What's so special about you getting a clean day and another guy didn't get one? Yeah, we can do what nobody else can do. That is help a hopeless person find some hope. And all we do is talk about us. And through our own story, other people find hope. The second tradition talks about a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. All right? But check this out. This is that it works high and wide. It's somebody's little bitty book, right? But it says this here. Something happens when we practice the steps and learn to apply principles in our individual lives. We develop an awareness of our behavior and its effects on others. In other words, we develop a conscience. That's in the second tradition. I don't know how many people travel a lot of places, but all groups are different. And the decisions that come before the groups are different. Every group has a personality. Because there's people in every group that have been there from day one. Everybody know them. When they walk in, hey, Johnny, what's up? You know, everybody kind of know the people. And it takes on a personality. Some groups have sharing where you just share till you get tired of fucking talking. They do. You just share until you just can't talk no more. Then another person share. You can share five times in one meeting. You can crosstalk in the meeting. You can talk directly to somebody else. That's their meeting format. Some meetings have a secretary and a chairperson. They take a break in the meeting for us to go out and smoke and come back. They call it a secretary's break. Some meetings you got to raise your hand and get called on. Some meetings just say your name and you start sharing. They say you got 4 to 6 minutes. Anything past 4 minutes is bullshit. It's on the wall. So what I'm saying is this, is that the group consciences are different. Uh-huh. They're different. Some areas you go to, shit, they do AA and CA and NA. But that's what they do. Some places you go, you can't even say sober in the meeting. They'll cut your neck off. Still talking about the group conscious process. But a lot of that's hard to understand without understanding how the locality is, the area that you're from. Most importantly is what you bring into the group conscious. Because we lead by example, which means people that we sponsor need to see us having some kind of principles in the room. That's important. Because one day, hopefully, your recovery will depend on what you'd have passed down. And if you pass down some bullshit, you're going to get some bullshit back. Because the group is the most powerful vehicle for carrying the message. Somebody hurting in the meeting, worst thing you do is take them outside because you're about to kill their goddamn ass out there. They need to sit in the meeting for the whole time. Because collectively, together, something might be said that might help somebody. If I take you outside, you're about to get my own opinion. And that ain't worth a shit sometimes. You see, that ain't worth nothing. But to understand the whole process of the group. Because the group makes decisions that affect everybody. That affects everybody. And if you start leading like that kind of process, people will follow that. See, time don't equal recovery. But you can't get recovery without no time neither. That's the paradox. See, 10 years don't equal recovery, but you can't get 10 years unless you can stay clean. See, we share our experience clean, not our experience using. Just imagine if all of us were using in this motherfucker right now, what this shit be like. Crazy. Crazy. See, we all got a drug story, but we all ain't got a recovery story. Well, what I want to know is how you do that and stay clean. How did you go through the breakup, come back in the room, know everybody talking about this shit, and you came back anyway, and you didn't pick up? That's the most powerful thing there is. See, if you're here right now, and you got a day clean, you're a miracle. Last night the guy said, I can't remember exactly how he said, but he said if you have a day clean, that's too long to use again. Can you imagine what it was like for you to get a day clean? What it took? And if you've been here any length of time, the shit that you've been through since you've been here, and you didn't get high. Yeah. That's the shit we bring to group conscious. Because some people come up there talking out the side of their neck and that shit. Some come with a motive because they want something to pass. And they put together enough people to make it pass. But check this out. If you believe in the process, because what we believe in is a process. The step process is what we believe in. If you go through this process, I believe at the end of this process, you might not have no spiritual awakening right away, but stay clean. Because sometimes you have to stay clean long enough to have an experience about the second step or the first step or the fifth step. But if you can't stay clean, you never have it. See, nothing miraculous happens when you finish the first step, but you get a chance to say, I finished the first step. And most of the time, you sit in a meeting, half the people ain't working no steps. They clean. You can tell they clean, but you can tell they ain't working no steps neither. Just watch what they do. You can watch how they act in group concert, tell they ain't working no fucking steps. This shit is crazy. This shit, this dude just brought insanity in the fucking meeting. That's the recovery process. I've been doing service for 24 straight years. My sponsors told me, when you get one, you get another one. So I haven't stopped in 24 years. They've changed because of my time schedule change. So a lot of that has changed. But I believe in that. That's the only way you understand traditions. Some people want to relate traditions to your family, which is cool. You can take the concept of the tradition and bring it home. That's fine. But really, they're written for the group. They didn't write it for your family. It don't say that in the book. I'm one of those people that believe what it says in the book. And they don't say nothing about for my home purpose. No. Or for my family. It says for the group. This is Narcotics Anonymous. You can take the principles and the concepts of things here and take them home. Sure, you can do that. But that's not what we talk about here. Here we're talking about understanding how to participate in group conscious. Because your voice is important. See, the attic is the most powerful process, the most powerful part of this process right here. Not the area of the people who put on this convention. Because if they put it on and you don't come, guess what? They ain't got shit. They need for you to come. They need for you to show up. I believe in that. Yeah? I was sitting here and I was thinking, we haven't shared together in over 10 years. This is an emotional process for me today. I was never like this kind of emotional guy. I mean, I didn't grow up like that. And then even when we were married, I wasn't like that. The steps process has helped me become more human. Mm-hmm. Women were a tool. But I say, yep. Yeah, and when I say that, which means I didn't know how to love anybody. I didn't know how to be loved. I didn't know how to allow somebody. You have to allow somebody to love you. I didn't know that. I thought you just got involved with somebody and the shit just happened. And you had to be the one who controlled the shit. Because you always had a girlfriend and a wife at the same time. That's the way the shit went. I didn't know that there's a value. And today for me, I'm not committed. I'm exclusive. You can be committed to multiple fucking things. I have an exclusive relationship with her. I only sleep with her. Nobody else. I only date her. That's it. I'm exclusive. Commitment will get you fucked up. You have commitments in service work. You can have multiple commitments. You can be the GSR of the group. You can be on the phone line at the areas. You can have multiple commitments. But exclusive is one thing different. That's my experience. That's my experience. So I'm sharing that as part of this whole process of the tradition number two. Because what you bring to the table is critical. And if you're not working any steps and not no process, well, you know. Because there's different kinds of principles. There's the steps by themselves is a set of principles. A principle is nothing more than it's a matter of importance to this way of life. So step one is a principle within itself. With inside those steps are other principles. They're spiritual principles, which is ones you can't see. So you can't see some willingness. You can't see some open-mindedness. But those are spiritual principles. And how it works, and the second part of how it works, it talks about the indispensable principles. That's honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Those are spiritual principles. You can't do without them. But too much of anything is not good for you. Too much honesty is not good. Because you got to know when to be honest. Sometimes honesty will hurt somebody else. So you don't want to hurt somebody in the process of you trying to get honest. So it has to be a balance in the whole process. Too much air is not good for you. Get too much air and watch what happens. Drink too much water and watch what happens. There's a balance in life we learn how to have. In the 11th step, it talks about one of the first results of the 11th step is emotional balance. That you're no longer like way up here 1 minute and way down here next. So that means you bring that to the group conscious. You bring your emotional balance in with you. And I'm trying to stress how important it is that you that the steps come with you. Because you can't walk into a group conscious and think that God's going to express himself in this process if I don't bring that with me. Because he gave me that first. And that's what we take with us. We express that in a group conscious. And if it's God's will, it will go the way it goes. Everything we do in Narcotics Anonymous revolves around one thing. That's our primary purpose. Every decision we make, every convention we have, every meeting we hold revolves around one thing. That's our primary purpose. That is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. So I'm sitting in group conscious. My first question to myself is, how is this going to further our primary purpose? That's how I vote. So if we're talking about something, is this going to help further our primary purpose? If it is, I'm raising my hand. If it's not, then why are we doing this shit? Right? Why are we doing it if it's not going to further our primary purpose? Everything is geared around that. It needs to further our primary purpose. That an addict, any addict, can stop using
drugs.
Right? So everything has to revolve around that. That's my question to myself. So when I vote on something, or if I'm involved with something, I need to know that. There's no status in recovery. There's no, like they say, big I's and little U's around here. Some people get involved with service and they steal. They take the money. But watch how they act afterwards. That shit will eat your ass up. Some of them end up using. See, I believe that this is God's process. You ask yourself those questions. How can this shit be? How can we teach each other how to fucking live? Most of us been on the streets. Well, I have. Since I was 12, 13. I'm not calling anybody in here one, but we got hoes, pimps, doctors. We got everybody up in here. We're like the bottom of the barrel sometimes. That nobody wanted to believe nothing we said or trust us with anything. Now, most of us have become the people in the family that everybody trusts. So God took the bottom of the barrel and made them the ones that everybody want to listen to. How do you explain that? There's only one way to explain that. It's God's process. God is the ultimate authority in this process. Yes, and in group conscious too. Even if it looks like somebody came in and ran by the whole thing, God is still in charge of that, because God knew they were coming in here with that bullshit to begin with.
Right.
Because you have to believe in that. Because sometimes it might not go the way you want it to go. Right? I need to wind this down. Check this out. I'm going to share a little bit about some other stuff. I had two liver diseases. I got one called primary sclerosing cholangitis. It's the same disease that Walter Payton died of, those who knew Walter Payton. It's a rare liver disease. They don't know how you get it, why you get it, or nothing. They just know that in the end, you end up with liver failure, which leads to liver cancer. Right? There's no cure. There's no treatment. There's no nothing. They just monitor it, see how much it's progressing. I have ulcerated colitis. I had hepatitis C until Tuesday. Tuesday they told me I was 99.9% cured of hepatitis C, right? But I'm saying that for a reason, right? Because whenever you get told that you have an illness that there's no cure, no treatment for, you know what the disease does? You're already in the coffin. When you walk out the door, you're already dead. So some we have to find hope within inside of something. But God knew when I got, before I ever thought about it, God knew that this would happen on this day. I would get diagnosed with this information. But they always say, you're prepared before you get there. God has already prepared you for what you're about to hear or go through before you ever get there. You just have to believe in that. If you don't believe in that, that's on you. But God has already prepared you for what you're going to go through. I have a purpose today. That is, this message is my purpose. I ride a motorcycle. I'm in a club. If you've ever been to a rally is the opposite of the convention. What that means is every fucking body is getting high and drinking. Everybody is. If you ain't getting high, you like a newcomer in that sucker. Right? It's the truth. Those who've been there. But I asked myself, why did I end up in this place? And the answer came to me is this: because you need to bring what you do here. Because it's people here that need the same thing. If I ride clean, other brothers and sisters are riding clean too. So I talked to the people out in Vegas and said, look, I'm in recovery. I don't drink and I don't smoke. But I want to set up a meeting inside the thing. When the people come, there's a meeting for people to go to. He said, no problem. You want to make a patch for it? And what I'm saying is, that's what I do. That's who I am. So if I'm riding, I'm a recovering person even there. I mean, they smoke weed at the fucking front door of the hotel. You had to walk through that shit to get into the hotel out there in Arizona where we're at. That's the culture of it. The culture is drugs, sex, all that shit is part of that culture. But I understand my purpose. I explained to my girl, I'm not there for no sex. I'm not there looking for... A short skirt don't interest me no more. I don't fall behind that shit like this anymore. I don't go crazy like that anymore. I know what I want. I know where I'm going. But that's only through experience. It's only through experience. I'm a martial artist. I've been doing martial arts since 1974. I'm a 9th degree black belt. I teach people every day. My character is critical to me today. But because of recovery, I'm a much better at everything that I do. Much better at everything that I do. If you ever come to Texas, I'm inviting you to come see us. Come hang out with us. You think I'm just saying this at this podium, you come live with us. This is not a speech. It's who I am. It's what I do. I should tell you, it's what I do. I believe in this process. I came here only because she had knee surgery. And she was in so much pain over that process of healing that she needed to get away. So we came to the convention. I told her I didn't want to go, but you need to get away. Not knowing that God wanted me to come anyway. You see what I'm talking about? See, once I surrendered, God wanted me here anyway. So I'm glad we came. He had a plan. So if you're here today and you believe in this process, if you haven't taken the steps, I encourage you to take the steps. I promise you, your life will change. What you believe this year, you will no longer see next year. God will give you a new set of eyes to look through. Life will look totally different than it has ever looked for you. When you walk into your next group conscious, ask yourself this question. What does this have to do with our primary purpose? Why are we debating this out? Is it going to help another addict? Allow God to express himself through your group conscious. I'm a recovering addict. My name is Myron B. Thank you.
All right, y'all. This is Myron for sharing.